This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. We're going to review and mock the actual draft that we did with podcast listeners just last night, Wednesday night, after this information about how you can book your own fantasy draft at Hooters.
It's fantasy football time at Hooters. Host your fantasy draft party at Hooters and get a free draft kit with over $200 in Hooters coupons and plenty of free game gear. Book your party online today at Hooters.com/football. With free Wi-Fi, you can check all the stats on game day. Get your game on at Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983, with 12 Tampa Bay area locations.
So get on up and get on down to Hooters.
My thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast again this season. And my thanks to them, specifically to the Tampa location on Hillsborough Avenue, just west of Dale Mabry, for their hospitality and the wonderful service of Ty and Christina. Yes, when you go into Hooters Tampa on Hillsborough Avenue, ask for Ty. Tell her that you listen to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. She'll roll her eyes a bit, but she will be very good to you. So she usually works the bar on Thursday nights, by the way. And Ty and Christina and the managers at Hooters made all of us. We ended up with multiple leagues going at one time of podcast listeners and JoeBucksFan.com fans. Ira Kaufman, thank you, Ira. Second year in a row, Ira has gave of his time to actually play fantasy football, something he's never done before. The longtime columnist and member of the Hall of Fame committee. If any Buccaneer wants to get in the Hall of Fame, Ira Kaufman is their best friend. And Ira came out last night. We had him featured in one league. We called it the Hall of Fame Fantasy League. And then I had more of the podcast intensive listeners and Todd Wright tour players like Mike Lentz of Papa John's and Greg Barker, Robert Wright, defending champion in my league where I'm playing this year. Defending myself as a common contestant, as Ben Stein would say, in the league that we creatively call the golf, the governor's harumph of lavish fantasy football. So I don't have access to the HFFL draft board. I did critique it and give some thoughts on it, but JoeBucksFan.com has that. And CJ, who's going to be co-commissioner, who back for a second year. Thank you, Curtis, helping out. But I have our own draft because I will commissioner this league of podcast listeners and Todd Wright Tour golfers. So let's just go through and mock the, not actually a mock draft. This was an actual draft. This one counts. So for those of you kind of looking to see, we did 12-team standard, all right? So 12-team standard, here was the first round. Gurley, Bell, Kamara. Now that's Greg Barker, one of my Todd Wright Tour players. I asked Greg later, I said, why did you jump Kamara up anywhere from 2 to 4 spots? And he simply said he feels that Kamara will have an increased workload against what the Saints are saying now, that Ingram never gets his job back. And even going to the younger player, they're going to need Kamara's workload to increase. He had some concerns about the offensive line and the lack of passing game for the Cowboys to complement Ezekiel Elliott. Coaching change, quarterback change in David Johnson's life. Didn't want to go with the rookie in Saquon Barkley, and felt if he took Antonio Brown, as I talk about often here on the podcast, it creates the Antonio Brown dilemma, which if you take Antonio Brown in the first round, you may not have an RB1 all year. You kind of have to get lucky. So that's why I took Kamara 3. I know some of you say, well, that's ridiculous. Look, I get it. I get what he did. I get why he did it. We'll just see if it works out. Then Elliott, then Johnson, then Barkley. Antonio Brown went 7 in the GOLFF last night. So ironically, and that was a podcast veteran in Andy, who playing in my league and is back for a second year in these Hooters leagues. And it actually worked out that Andy did not get an RB1. And I talked to him about it later. So Andy went Antonio Brown. And then he couldn't even get, for example, Christian McCaffrey or Jordan Howard. 12-team league. The picks after Antonio Brown at 7 went Hunt, Gordon, Hopkins. That was me. Jones, Beckham. And then the second round went Freeman, Cook, Fournette. That was me. Amazed Fournette was sitting there at 15th overall. Howard, McCaffrey. And then Andy feeling that simply the likes of any running back left was not worth the pick. He took Davante Adams, who obviously has a high red zone rate with Aaron Rodgers. It may go up even more without Jordy Nelson even around in Green Bay, although Jordy missed so much time last year. Now they can plan their red zone targets in advance, knowing Jordy is not there. There are reports that the Packers are or are not shopping Randall Cobb. That could also spike Davante Adams' red zone targets. So Andy waited until the third round to take running backs. So I'm just going to run down what Andy did because he didn't exactly play the zero running back draft philosophy, or as I call it, guilty by reason of insanity in fantasy football. But he did pick up, as he explained to me later, he said, I grabbed a bunch of running backs and I'm just going to hope that I have enough to where I feel good about my starters. And of course, you're going to be able to find, if you're aggressive, someone on waivers, running back wise or wide receiver wise. It's going to happen, but if you've got to be aggressive with waivers, especially the first month of the season, so he went McCoy in the third round, Kenyon Drake in the fourth round, Lamar Miller in the fifth round. That's pretty good value there. And then Deion Lewis, he got good value on in the ninth round, Gio Bernard in the 10th, Bilal Powell in the 11th. So again, a lot of running backs there. That's how many? That's six? Yeah. So six running backs by going wide receiver. Now look, he said it, wide receiver, right? Antonio Brown, Davante Adams. Wow. Right? That's just roll out of bed and write them in the lineup, other than their bye weeks, barring injury or for barring some unexpected circumstance involving Antonio Brown or Davante Adams, an injury to Ben Roethlisberger, an injury to Aaron Rodgers. So he's going to try to piece it together. And actually, I think for the running backs he did take, I thought his approach was sound. He didn't feel that the value was there in the second round to take a running back. So he took the better receiver. The rest of the second round went Mixon, Gronk, Keenan Allen, Alex Collins. I thought that was a little high, but that was Mr. Barker again, feeling Collins would have a heavy workload in Baltimore, and he just wanted to make sure he had a volume number two running back with Alvin Kamara. Okay. Michael Thomas dropped to wide receiver 8 in our draft. That surprised me. So Thomas went second to last pick of the second round. Again, this is a 12-team standard league. Mike Evans, I'll give my listeners and my league credit. They didn't overvalue Mike Evans from the local standpoint for being a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. For example, Evan Silva, as we talked about on the Bucs Bulletin earlier this week, Evan Silva had Mike Evans rated as overall 25 and wide receiver 10. In my league, with my podcast and Todd Wright Tour Golfers, Evans went overall 24, wide receiver 9. So there's not really an overvalue there. The third round went Kelce, which is about right. We've talked about the tight ends. Gronk, then Kelce, about 4 to 8 spots after Gronk. And then I always said Ertz usually is roughly one round after Kelce. We'll get to Ertz in a second. Third round went Kelce, McKinnon, Thielen, Funny. Every time in every mock draft or in every fantasy football calculator ranking for players, or even I think on Evan Silva's top 150, The minute one of those two Vikings wide receivers goes, the other one goes almost immediately. And our draft was no exception. Thielen, third pick of third round, then A.J. Green, then Stephon Diggs, fifth pick of third round. Tyreek Hill, sixth pick of the third round, then Shady McCoy, Jay Ajayi, Amari Cooper. I then took T.Y. Hilton, since Andrew Luck actually looks like an NFL quarterback again. T.Y. Hilton's value is starting to rise again. Alshon Jeffrey may or may not be ready for week one. We're not sure really what the Eagles are going to start the season with, but Jeffrey goes 11th pick of the third round, and Jarvis Landry goes last pick of the third round. Fourth round in order, Mark Ingram, I think that's high. It's not just because you're not going to have him for four games, but you got to convince me Mark Ingram is going to be interested and utilized once he comes back. And Matthew Berry brought up a great point a week or so ago. Ingram's touches actually went down at the end of last season before all this stuff started happening. So I thought Ingram going first pick of the fourth round was high. C.J. Anderson went after that. I'm not into C.J. Anderson because I think if C.J. Anderson's on the field, McCaffrey's probably off the field. I understand they want to have a short yardage back in Anderson, but I just don't know how effective he's going to be. If you owned C.J. Anderson last year, you know what I'm talking about. I got Derrick Henry, third pick of the fourth round. I love that. I thought it was tremendous value, and I think Henry is actually being underdrafted. Granted, there are those of us, and you know who you are, and I'm one of them. We have loved Derrick Henry from the moment he got in the National Football League, and we've been begging for the Titans to just give him the frickin' football. And look what happened when they did at the end of last year and in the playoff game. And now you have Deion Lewis's presence. But I still feel very strongly that Derrick Henry will do enough to merit enough volume in Tennessee. Aaron Rodgers went off the board, fourth pick of fourth round in our draft. Okay. I think that's fine. That shows to me no one was really reaching necessarily for a quarterback. I get Rodgers to go there. That is what, 30? That's 40th overall. He was the 40th pick in our draft. That was followed immediately by Juju Smith-Schuster. Found that interesting, but damn, that's a player I wish I could own. So after Derrick Henry, I would have loved to have had Aaron Rodgers. I would have loved to have Juju Smith-Schuster, but I needed a second running back, and I got my second running back in Derrick Henry in the fourth round after setting myself up for wide receivers, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit as well. All right, rest of the fourth round, Kenyon Drake, Josh Gordon, Demaryius Thomas, Larry Fitzgerald, Doug Baldwin, then two more quarterbacks in the fourth round, Breeze, and then Brady. All right, quickly through, we'll do rounds five and six here. Round five started with Tevin Coleman, then Devin Funchess, Kirk Cousins. Again, that's my golfer, Greg Barker. I think it was high for Cousins. I do. I think it was high for Cousins. I get it, but I think he could have gotten Cousins at least a round or two later. Carlos Hyde then went to Greg, a different Greg, and at that point, Greg needed a second running back. He had gone three wide receivers in a row, so he needed a running back there. He took Hyde, even though Miller was on the board later, and Royce Freeman was on the board as well. Deshaun Watson went fifth pick of the fifth round to Dan. Then Brandon Cooks followed that to Tony, who's the manager of the St. Pete Hooters. More on that store coming up. Lamar Miller, then Royce Freeman, then Allen Robinson. Then I drafted Zach Ertz. In our league, we play a flex WT. This is the only place you can play a tight end. So you don't have to roster a tight end. You don't have to draft a tight end. You never have to think about a tight end. The only place you can play a tight end is the flex, and you cannot flex a running back in a league that's a WT flex. I do this so there are running backs actually available on the waiver wire throughout the season, and running backs cannot dominate the league. So I took Ertz well after Kelce. I just felt, again, what I've been saying about the top three tight ends, Gronk goes, right, second or third round, like mid to late second, early third round. Then Kelce comes off the board 4 to 8 picks later. Then Ertz comes off the board a round after Kelce. Well, Kelce went first pick of the third round. Ertz did not go in the third round. Ertz did not go in the fourth round. I'm picking near the end of the fifth round, and he's still there. And keep in mind, the other two tight ends on the Eagles Super Bowl team are gone. So there is an expectation that Ertz will get more targets, more time. So I took him there. I just thought the value was very good. Sony Michel, Jimmy Graham, final picks of the fifth round. Sixth round went Jordy Nelson, Sammy Watkins. I took Russell Wilson there. I just did not. I could have taken Chris Hogan there. I may have a bit of remorse there for not taking Hogan there. I could have taken Julian Edelman there. They went later in the round. I went ahead and took Russell Wilson because I just think Russell Wilson is an undervalued fantasy quarterback. He has the combination of the arm and the legs. No discernible running game again this year, based on reports. Can't trust it. And the Seahawk defense doesn't look to be as good as it was in the past, so Wilson might need to put up more points. So I went ahead and took him. After Wilson went Crabtree, Hogan, Marquise Goodwin. Nice pick by Andy there, although that's his third wide receiver, is Goodwin. That's pretty good third wide receiver. Corey Davis, who latest reports, Hooters manager Tony took Corey Davis. Titans trying to use Corey Davis all over the field. They just love to keep him on the field, right? Forget how they're using him. Then Golden Tate was a little surprised by that pick by Dan based on some of the word that Galladay is ahead of Tate on the depth chart. Then Lockett, Cooper Kupp, Marvin Jones Jr., and Julian Edelman went last pick of the sixth round. Here's what, as I sort of realized it as we were going along, we've talked a lot about getting your RB1. And, for example, the Antonio Brown dilemma sort of speaks to that. If you take Antonio Brown, it didn't work out for Andy. He didn't get an RB1. Ira Kaufman, ironically, was picking, I think, sixth or seventh. And he took Antonio Brown, and somehow he ended up with Leonard Fournette in the second round. And he knows he got lucky and fortunate, especially with the news that Fournette may play more three downs, at least coming out of the end of Jaguar camp. So looking at this, though, I realize that once you get past the early rounds, you can go by the value of fantasy football calculator, Evan Silva, look at Steve Gallo. But it just kind of feels like there's a pretty significant drop-off in wide receivers where you're not really sure what you're getting. So that's something I learned from last night's draft with my podcast and listeners and Todd Wright Tour golfers, is that once and I didn't plan to go in to get two wide receivers in the first three rounds. And I'm fortunate I got Derrick Henry in the fourth, so I feel good about my RB1 and my RB2. After that, most of the time I couldn't really make a case for taking a wide receiver. So I will be active on waivers, trying to pluck a wide receiver off the waiver wire who I think can be hot for me or a plug-and-play type option. But there wasn't a lot of guaranteed value even for the middle rounds on some wide receivers. I don't know that roles are defined out there where you're sure, for example, that some of these receivers that you're taking in the middle rounds or, even in rounds, say, 5, 6, making sure that if you play them, that they're going to get you I don't know, 8 points, which kind of gets you by. If they get 80 yards and without a touchdown, you're like, eh, not great, but we'll take it. It's better than a 2-catch-for-21-yard game, right? It's better than a 4-catch-for-28-yard game. So I think there is sort of on those wide receivers, once you get into, say, round 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't want to say you're throwing darts, but it's tough. It's tough to know what you're getting. In those cases, I would say make sure you're getting someone who's going to be on the field with a in a good offense with a productive quarterback. And it doesn't have to be a Deshaun Watson. It doesn't have to be a Tom Brady. It doesn't have to be an Aaron Rodgers. It can be a Ben Roethlisberger. It can be, hence the Juju Smith-Schuster going in the fourth round. I think that's an example of what I'm talking about, that you say, Juju went in the fourth round? Wow, that seems overvalued. Really, it's not. Think about it. You know he's the number two wide receiver in Pittsburgh. And granted, there should be more balls being thrown to Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Okay. But the Steelers, latest report via Roto-World, run in a lot of hurry up, so that's more snaps in the game. With Ben Roethlisberger and an offense that can put up a lot of points. So it makes sense. It also shows that, well, who are you going to take instead of Juju Smith-Schuster? He makes sense to have that elevated value. So I think that was something I learned from going through the actual draft process with my podcast listeners and Todd Wright Tour players last night. There you go. There's the review of the first 6 rounds of what we did last night. Again, thanks to my podcast listeners for coming out, whether you were in my league or you were in Ira Kaufman's Hall of Fame Fantasy League. I talked to Ty afterwards. She said, all of you were very nice. We were very organized. No one ran off from their check. Everyone left the tip. Nobody spilled any food or beer or spoke out of turn or said anything to make Ty or Christina uncomfortable. Thank you guys for representing our league very, very well. If you have any questions going into your season-long draft, you can email me and ask me those questions. Many are ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Also, let's go ahead and announce what we're doing for our second get-together at Hooters. We're actually going to do it on opening night. We're changing it up this year. Opening night of the season, Falcons-Eagles, Thursday night, September 6th. We will be at Hooters on 4th Street in St. Petersburg, Florida. Tony Metzler is the manager there. Tony is in... I mentioned him already. He's in my GOLFF, the Governors of Lavish Fantasy Football. And Tony and I are putting together a daily fantasy night for the opening game between the Falcons and the Eagles. We're going to play daily fantasy that night. Probably just play the first half because it's kind of one of those games where, you know, most people have to work on Friday. You want to go out and watch football. Maybe you're not a Falcons fan. Maybe you're not an Eagles fan. But you want to go out. And then at halftime, you're like, yeah, it's enough. I want to go watch the rest of it at home. So we'll figure it out, but we're going to play daily fantasy that night. And someone that night, probably more than one person, is going to win a prize instantly that night and go home with it. We are restricted to the number of people. We have a room at that particular Hooters on 4th Street in St. Pete. We have. So if you would like an invitation to that daily fantasy party for the opening night of the NFL season, email ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Let me know if you're interested in coming. We'll do more random draws, just to be fair on this, rather than just if you email, you're in. I can't do that because space is limited. But we'll start having everybody there roughly at 7 p.m. I'll talk fantasy football with everybody if you want. I won't bother you otherwise if you don't. But we'll run a daily game that night, at least for the first half of the game. We'll have some prizes to give away. And if you listen to the podcast and you just want an excuse to go out for the opening game, come out with us. And I should have a drink special to announce by the next podcast for that night also. All right. Thanks to Tony Metzler and, of course, my sponsors at Hooters, presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. All right. So if you want an invitation to that get together of podcast listeners and Todd Wright Tour golfers for the opening game, Eagles Falcons on September 6th, 4th Street, St. Pete Hooters, email me at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Let me know if you're interested in coming, and you can RSVP for yourself and a guest. All right. You can have a plus one at my event, for lack of a better term. That does it for this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. We will talk to you next time. Enjoy the weekend.